This morning,
we lit the first candle of our Advent wreath, and we were reminded of the Christmas tree, a symbol out of God's creation that we can use to remind us to look to God. I'm sure you all noticed as you came in where we placed the tree, and I mentioned that earlier. Not that we want to make the tree a central part of our worship, but that I want us to understand that this part of creation, a simple tree, one that we will see so many of in this next 4 weeks, should point to Jesus. I want you to think for a minute that if you were right here, what would you see? But when you move back to where you are, what do you see? And I challenge you in this season, as you stand so close to the celebration and the decorations and the gift giving and all of the trappings that have become the Christmas season, I want to challenge you to back up a little bit and see where it points. Our study this morning is going to start with some verses out of the book of John, chapter 17, verses 13 to 18. And in the Pew Bibles, it's page 1071. This is Jesus, and he's praying out loud so people can hear it. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. This prayer Jesus prayed in the temple in the last week of his ministry. He spoke it publicly so that people could hear what he was thinking. And he talked about these around him, his disciples, his students, the people who had embraced him and his teaching and understood who he was. He says, these people are no longer part of the world. Just as Jesus really isn't part of the world. When Jesus saves you, when you become one of his, you're adopted into the family of God. But God doesn't take you out of the world. We still have to deal with everything in it. We have to deal with a Christmas that has become very secular, in a culture that has become very materialistic, in a time when many people have very little respect for God, and who daily misuse and profane all that is sacred. And if that isn't enough, not only do they drag down all that is sacred, but they revere and promote the small, unimportant things of creation to become their gods. And perhaps the Christmas tree is one of those things. I've got to get the Christmas tree set up. Got to get a good one. Got to get it decorated properly. Oh, yeah, and Santa Claus out on the lawn. And all the lights up. You see, at Christmas time, those are our gods. And we've taken the mundane, the insignificant, and we've made it the important parts of our life. Listen to this. It's found in Colossians 3. It's page 1167 if you want to follow. Just a short passage. Starting at the 15th verse. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Listen. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So as we remain in the world, as we deal with Christmas trees and Santa Claus and all that stuff, it becomes our duty as Christians to honor God and to build it up so that all points to Jesus. And so this celebration of Christmas is one of those things. No other celebration in the whole world is celebrated as heavily, I guess is a good word, as Christmas. I mean, people that have no idea who Christ is celebrate Christmas. Possibly the one other icon of this celebration that might measure up to the Christmas tree is Santa Claus. So what do we do with all of these things that draw our attention? Things of the world. How do we, as Christians, put that together with our Lord and our Savior? We're not going to get rid of them. We don't have that ability. So we're going to take all of these things and we're going to point them to Jesus. From this day on, you will not be able to look at a Christmas tree and not think how it points to Jesus. Jesus took the everyday things of his life and of his culture, and he used them to point in the right direction. We call them parables. He told a story. And then after he told the story, sometimes he explained it. And we study his stories, things out of his culture. And we say, what did he mean by pointing these out to us? They're earthly things, created things, just like the Christmas tree. But he used them to point to the kingdom of God. And so today we're doing that. For the next 4 weeks we're going to do that. We're going to take things that are common to us and make them point to Jesus. So, as we come to the tree here, when we started with the bare tree yesterday, we had put lights on it. The lights symbolize the light of the world, Jesus. And there are thousands of lights wherever you go over Christmas now. Think of those thousand tongues that can sing our great Redeemer's praise. And then we wrap the tree with garlands. Garlands, wherever they're used, are a symbol of celebration. Political things, they have garlands hanging around. They're usually not evergreen garlands. But garlands are a symbol of celebration. And so we wrap the tree to celebrate where it's pointing. And then, since everybody has a tendency to be very close to the tree, and it's sometimes kind of hard to look to where it's pointing, we've covered the tree with other pointers.
This particular tree is decorated with what we call chrismons, all these little symbols. And each one is symbolic of something that we believe. You know, every snowflake is created by God. And while ours are duplicates, they tell me that no two snowflakes are the same. What a marvelous creator we have when he can send 5 feet of snow and it's all little particles and everyone is unique. Just like we, his children, are all unique. And it points to the one who created us. The dove, the symbol of the Spirit of God. Joy, peace, hope. Who brings those? God brings them to us. And we look at those shiny balls on the tree. You know, those shiny balls, if there were no light on them, if they were not reflective, they wouldn't be anything. But the balls on the tree reflect what's around them. They reflect the lights. They reflect the ornaments. Perhaps even they reflect you. But they're worthless unless they have something to reflect. And you become an ornament in God's tree. And you're worthless unless you reflect back to God what he's giving you. And those around you, the family of God. Everything on that tree, in some way, points to God. Some of the ornaments on that tree are memories. When I was a kid growing up, every year we put up a tree in the living room. Dad measured it carefully so it reached just the ceiling with just enough clearance that the star on top would just fit. Oh, and he always tied it up because as little kids we knock it over sometimes. But then he'd string all those lights on it and then we children would decorate it. And it took all evening because every ornament, everything that went on that tree had a memory. This one represents when such and such a child was born. This one is mine. It was given to me when I was 3 years old. This one came from wherever. Oh, and here in the middle, this is a real egg. And it's been opened up, and there's a nativity scene in the egg. Every memory on that tree is a gift from God. And the fact that we remember them is a gift from God. We all know people that can't remember anything. And our memories are part of what makes us unique. And so God has gifted us with memories. And we hang those memories on the tree, and they point to Jesus. And so I challenge you in this season, when you see all of those Christmas trees, look at it. How does it point you to Jesus? Now, you're going to look at some Christmas trees, and they would have painted them white, or maybe a light blue, or whatever. And they'll all be decorated with one ornament. And you look at that tree, and you say, okay, that's kind of pretty. What's the point? New memories. Maybe a little reflection. But it still points to Jesus.
I don't care what they do to that tree. It still points to Jesus. And when they put it up in the store, they don't know it. But you're going to walk by and you can say, oh yeah. They put up a symbol that points to Jesus. And you ride past the house of somebody who you know is a heathen. They don't believe in God. And they've decorated their place with all kinds of thousand tongues, the lights. And they've decorated their trees that point to Jesus, with garlands that celebrate what he's done for us. And they've hung ornaments on it to reflect God's creation. And you go past that heathen person's house and you say, you don't know what a witness you are in this season for God and his promises. Some of the biggest displays that you will see are put on by people that care nothing about the Christ in Christmas. And yet all that they've put up points to Jesus. What about Santa Claus? Go to the, there it is. I want to tell you a little bit about Santa Claus. Maybe a bunch of you know this. Santa Claus is patterned after a man who they called St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas was a bishop or an elder in the early church, I think about 300 some after Christ. And he was noted for his giving. He grew up in a wealthy family and he was orphaned. And so even as a child, he had lots of money. And he used his wealth to help people. And so he was known for his gifts. And over the years, his story has been kind of warped and changed and kind of become this entity called Santa Claus. And so now, Santa Claus is one of the biggest icons of this Christmas celebration. But most people don't know that he's patterned after a Christian leader. And the gifts that are brought by St. Nicholas were gifts from God for people who needed God's help. Now we've warped that story. We've made it into a Santa Claus. But he's there. He's part of the celebration. What do we as Christians do with Santa Claus? Santa Claus bows at the manger. Let me point you to Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. It's page 1162 in the Pew Bibles. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that's Jesus, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and in earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so when you think of Santa Claus, understand that's just a warping and a misunderstanding of St. Nicholas, who was the hand of God to give to the needy. And so as we talk about Santa Claus going around the world and giving gifts, understand that every good gift comes from above, comes from God. And nothing good can happen without him. And so even Santa Claus bows at the manger because he is a messenger of God's gift. And God's gifts to all of us. In 2014, it may seem that the forces of evil and the secular Christmas are overcoming the kingdom of God. It cannot happen. If we, the Church of Jesus Christ, take back the world and point it to Jesus. Jesus, the Christ, the promised one, the Son of God.